Support made possible by Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic's annual series of crop insurance and grain marketing meetings are currently underway across the Midwest. Go to www.sfarmmarketing to register for a meeting near you.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 10th day of February 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Happy birthday to my brother, Rob. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll be joined by Mark Russo at this Pulse in Chicago to discuss the weather forecast, update the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons, and take a look at corn consumption with University of Illinois agricultural economist Todd Hubbs. We'll do all of that on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Oh, and I've got some big news as it's related to the all-day ag outlook. If you've not picked up your tickets, it got worthwhile again today. You can do that online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, March corn today down a penny and three quarters. It settled at $3.81¾. The May at $3.86½, two lower, and July down a penny and a half today. It finished at $3.90¾. December corn at $3.93½, a half lower, and next year's March at $4.02¾, unchanged on the day. March soybeans up two and a quarter, settled at $8.84¼. The May at $8.97¼, two and a quarter higher. July $9.10¼, up two and a quarter. Next year's November soybeans up three quarters. Quarters of a cent, $9.19¼ of the settlement price. The bean oil futures down 35 cents. Bean meal futures for the day up $2.10. Wheat futures soft red. July contract 4½ lower at 5.52½. The hard red unchanged at 4.85¼ for the day. Live cattle futures in the April down $1.12½ at $118.67½ for 100 pounds. And the March feeder cattle 50 cents higher at $135.70. Lean hogs in the lead option down 90 cents, and the April $1.17½ lower. It settled at $65.07. Crude oil futures 71 cents lower, ethanol down 0.2¢ per gallon, heating oil off 3 cents, and gasoline just about even for the day. Natural gas is down 8 cents on the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, a gain of around 100 points. The U.S. dollar up 0.139, and gold futures $5.10 higher at $1,573.70. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at these numbers and tell us what happened in Chicago. Thanks for being with us today, Kurt. I saw that corn, or rather beans, were up a bit more during a good portion of the day than they finished. What happened there?
Yeah, we saw quite a bit of spread activity, buying beans, selling corn, buying beans, selling wheat. But there's some talk of some Chinese business, new crop particularly, if we can see some confirmation of as many as 2 to 3 cargoes might have traded hands there. Also, one of the meal exporters out of Argentina filed for bankruptcy, so meal gained on soybean oil here today. The also spread activity in the products, meal gained on the oil, and it's going to be real important for oil to really kind of find around this 30-cent level. Oil's kind of been the bullish side of the whole bean complex here. So that world vegetable oil and Malaysia palm oil has kind of been the driving engine here until this coronavirus popped up here, and we've seen quite a correction. So we're down to some levels in through here where hopefully we'll see some demand come forward like we saw in the bean complex here today.
What do you make of tomorrow's USDA WASD report?
We're looking at some slightly tighter numbers. The corn average trade guess is 1864. There in January is 1892, so that's tightened up slightly. Soybeans, 443 million bushels versus 475. And the wheat, 954 versus 965. We'll see how they decipher those numbers on what they want to do with some future export demand. Seems like we've got some moving targets for them to address on exports as we move forward in through here. Feed usage, I think, is going to continue to remain somewhat high. We've got the livestock sector consuming a lot of grain out there. World numbers, world carryout numbers are virtually just about unchanged from the January report. A lot of these changes will be just here in the U.S.
What do we expect to see from CONAB? I think they've got some numbers due out, too.
Yeah, we're looking at, so far, South American productions online. We're getting a little too wet. Forecasters have been promoting that the regions that are trying to harvest and trying to get some corn in is going to stay wet here for the most part. Harvest activity is about 16% complete in the beans versus about 27% on the normal scale, but they can catch up in a hurry if the weather cooperates. Probably the biggest thing weather-wise, when you look a little longer term, a lot of these forecasters are starting to lean towards a cool, wet spring, then a warm, dry summer. And if you've been looking at the program I gave you there for Christmas, Todd, it says sizzle and drizzle for this summer. So we've got some weather potential here as we get into the growing season without the market, you know, having a lot of that priced in right at the moment.
When farmers call you, what are they asking about? Mostly, I suspect they're wondering about a basis contract that they already have in place. Do you have any good information for them?
Yes, I do. I'm glad you brought that up because the one thing you need to know is the players and what they do. The commodity funds are short corn, and they roll out of that short early in the month, and we're getting into the delivery process. If you're long March corn, you have to do something by the end of the month. Well, the funds are the opposite. They're short. They buy it back, and it's supporting the front end and depressing the back end. Now, the other large player, and there's a huge, huge book of March futures on as basis contracts. As we get towards the end of the month, the commercials are long, the farmer's long. He will have to sell that to avoid delivery and roll it out. So that will put pressure on the March as we get into late in the month. So the moral of the story is if you watch the May-March spread, it starts getting that 4 to 3 cent range. That'd be an area to roll those out. And it's probably sooner than later. The same thing happened in November when we got into the December delivery process or close to it. The end of October, 1st of November, that was when the tightest spread was. We got in the second half of November, that spread widened out as the farmer and elevators rolled those bases out to another month. So if you're needing to roll, I do it sooner or later. And we're not talking a huge 8-9 cent move or anything. We're talking trying to pick up an extra 2 or 3 cents by knowing who the players are and when they're acting.
Yeah, that's very, very good advice. I take it you think that's something they maybe should consider rather than going ahead and finishing the basis contract off.
Well, that depends on the individual, what their situation is. If you do roll it, there's some extra cost. You can just be rid of it and reown it on the board, fairly reasonable at a lower cost, probably. You just got to pencil that out and kind of see which option's best for you.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
Well, we're looking at the meat sector in through here. It's been quite a zoo in here. Trade kind of feels there's some long-term demand here with that coronavirus still spreading and talk of pork shortages. Unable to get some feed to some chickens, so there's still some potential protein demand to China here. There's probably more into the summertime window.
And one final note, I'm looking forward to having you over at the Beef House on the third day of March, and I'll bet you'll use that nice little book of yours during that day as well as it relates to the weather forecast. Should be a good day, too.
Oh, it's always a great event to be at. There's a lot of good ideas, and I think everybody has to admit they pick up some good ideas. We're going to have some giveaways, and I promise you, if you get one of our giveaways, you won't be lost in the dark.
Hey, thanks, Kurt. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. Kurt, by the way, will be one of 17 as of today analysts over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We added Lance Honig, who is the chief of the crops branch at USDA NASS out of Washington, D.C., to the event. If you'd like to come over and hear him and and all the rest of the crew talk about the commodity markets and what's been happening on the planet as it's related to trade for corn, soybeans, and wheat. Be sure to visit our website today and buy your ticket right now. Don't wait, willag.org. That $30, get this, includes your morning coffee and roll from the Beef House and your lunch from the Beef House. It's a great day. If you've not been to one of these events, we've had them since 1991, and this year's going to be a good one. Be sure to visit willag.org. Buy your ticket today for the all-day Ag Outlook. On this Monday, we'll check the weather forecast now with Mark Russo. He's at Brisk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
I'd like to hop around the globe just a bit today. We'll start in South America. I think maybe in Rio Grande do Sul. It appears they're drying out, but I don't know what that really means. Can you give me some indications?
Sure. As we look at rainfall over the past 2 to 3 weeks, rainfall has been pretty limited. Most areas of the state of Rio Grande do Sul in southern Brazil have received less than 50% of their normal rainfall. And so with still some sensitivities there, that has become the focus of attention here at this time. As we look out for the next couple of weeks, the next opportunity for more significant rain in Rio Grande do Sul is going to be coming up late this week on Friday night into Saturday. That looks to be more of a moderate event with totals ranging anywhere from 10 to 15 millimeters or about, you know, half an inch on the lighter end to close to an inch or 25 millimeters on the higher side. So it looks like a moderate opportunity for some improvement, but the better rains actually look to be in week two. There will be one frontal passage coming through early next week that will be followed by another frontal passage late next week. And overall, next week looks to be the best opportunity for much more, you know, higher totals, bigger coverage across areas of Rio Grande do Sul. So we do see an overall improving pattern, but again, that really doesn't begin to kick in until late this week with an even the better opportunity next week.
All right. From there, we'll skip past Australia, but put it in context as it relates to the wheat crop on the planet. Oftentimes we think about Argentina and Australia and the southern hemisphere wheat crop, but the bulk of the wheat has grown in the northern hemisphere in any given year. And most of that comes out of Europe and then parts of Eastern Europe and into Eurasia. What are conditions like for that crop?
Kind of a variable situation there. It's been pretty active and stormy across northern and northwest Europe. So crops such as in the UK and northern France and in northern Germany, very stormy with above normal precipitation over the next couple of weeks. For areas of the Black Sea wheat belt, we've seen improvement in recent weeks. And so for the wheat areas in Ukraine and Russia, their soil moisture is currently adequate. Where it's lacking right now is actually southwest Europe and Spain, and that extends into North Africa, and which shows no sign of really improving here coming up. So that is the focus of attention, at least from a dryness standpoint. It's North Africa and Spain.
Finally, back here in the United States, it's been a little turbulent. I noticed that over the weekend, at least in my part of the world, it's going to be really cold. Can you tell me about conditions?
Yeah, with the pattern here across the U.S., especially here in the Midwest, still a general warm bias pattern for the next couple of weeks. The exception is actually going to be coming up late this week. Wednesday on into Thursday and Friday, there's going to be a brief shot of cold that's actually going to be accompanied, or at least on the leading edge of it, be accompanied by some snow. So we are going to go into a brief period of colder than normal temperatures here in Illinois and the Midwest. Don't see that as being threatening to any kind of winter crops. Once we get into this weekend or late in the weekend next week, then temperatures quickly warm back up. So bottom line is still no sign of any extreme cold. And then from a storminess standpoint, it looks like much of the southern U.S. still stays on the active side from now through basically the end of the month.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse from Chicago, Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois. This week for the Farm Doc Daily website on Monday, he's posted an article about corn consumption. Thanks for dropping down to the studio, Todd. Tell me a little bit about this article.
Well, I was just looking at how corn use has been going over the last month. We've seen improvements in some of the major categories. Now, while we've seen weakness in the futures, there's still a real strong basis out there throughout the Corn Belt. We've seen net sales of corn pick up over the last 3 weeks. They've been over a million metric tons 3 weeks in a row. That's the first time all marketing year that's happened. We've seen corn use for ethanol or ethanol production, let me say, up substantially in January over last year. And of course, we saw the huge feed and residual number come out in December for the first quarter that came out in January with the December 1st stocks reports. So overall, you know, we've seen corn consumption over this long period between December and February here pick up in a bunch of the key use categories. In the meantime, futures have been bouncing around in a relatively narrow range, and we've seen basis be really strong. So I'm optimistic about what this kind of use could be for the 1920 marketing year, and I dig into that a little bit where I might see exports and ethanol production feed going.
What'd you find?
Well, for exports, I'm optimistic we can hit USDA's projection 1.775 billion bushels, mainly because Brazil's corn supply situation is very tight. Now, we've been talking about this for months. It took longer than I thought for them to run out of corn, but it looks like we're the main supplier of corn right now, other than some coming out of Ukraine. And we've seen really strong sales to Mexico, Japan, Colombia, all our major buyers over the last few weeks. Some of the southern parts of Brazil, the southern region, is getting out their bean crop late, which means it looks like they're going to put in that second crop corn later than advised by a lot of agronomists. The central west region's on time, it looks like, and they're going to get the safrinha crop in on time. The second corn crop in Brazil is a risky proposition, even when it's planted on time. So, you know, the prospect of maybe that crop not being a monster like it was last year or coming up even short, I think bodes well for U.S. exports over the second half of the marketing year. I think even without a bad second crop, we got a few months here where we're going to be one of the dominant world suppliers because they've run themselves so tight. The full season crop in Brazil came up a little shorter than expected due to dry conditions in the southern regions. So right now, the supply in Brazil is a little bit tight. They're importing from Argentina and places around them. So I think we've got a good chance for a really strong second half of the marketing year for exports. Now, I'm not saying we're going to blow through the projection, but I think we can meet it or possibly exceed it if China does come through with some buying, because they're not traditionally large corn buyers anyway. So I'm optimistic on that front. Ethanol production's been really strong. We've seen weekly gas demand slightly below last year's numbers through January. You're not going to see a lot of growth in gas demand, so it's sort of coming down to exports. Right now, we're on pace to hit the USDA's projection for the marketing year. We might be a little bit above it. And it may come down to exports again. Through November, with the EIA data we got officially, we're about 80 million gallons behind last year. By my calculations, we're still about that far behind as we get through into January. And if China comes in on ethanol buying, that could be very supportive for corn use. Not to mention, you know, there's quality issues in the corn, and maybe that feeds into it a little bit. From what I've heard, maybe not as much as people think, but a little bit. So as long as ethanol margins can stay somewhat competitive, we could see that corn use number be hit or possibly exceeded if China comes in. Feed and residual. Now, I think there are quality, well, this is where quality issues might raise their head a bit. That number, over 2.6 billion bushels in the first quarter, that was about 47.7% of USDA's yearly projection, which is well above what it normally is in the first quarter. Now, some of that, I have to think, it's just that 8% of the crop was still in the field, and we don't know what that crop is. So you could see the 2019 production come down and maybe see that feed and residual number adjust a little bit. We got a large livestock production going on right now, a lot of hogs and cattle out there. You would expect feed use drop, particularly as corn's as cheap as it is right now. So I think that number USDA put out, about 5.525 billion bushels, is a fair estimate of where feed residual is going to be. It could come down a little bit if the crop shrinks significantly, but regardless, I think it's a fair estimate right now where feed and residual is. So when we think about the three big use categories, they're all a little bit stronger than we thought they would be coming into the marketing year in the first part when we saw all that weakness early. So we're building some strength in corn consumption, and I think we can see some follow through on that, particularly if the phase one trade deal and buying commences.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, commodity market specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Greg Johnson is here now, too. He's with the Andersons, where he's a commodity specialist and purchaser of grain. Hey, thanks so much, Greg, for being with us this afternoon. Has it been quiet in the elevator the last week or so?
It has. We are waiting for the supply and demand report tomorrow, and there's been just enough quality issues and high moisture corn in our area that corn is moving, so that's keeping basis levels from improving. But on the other hand, the prices aren't what farmers like, so we haven't seen a big drop in basis levels either. So it's been kind of stagnant on both the future side of the market as well as the basis side in corn. Now, soybeans, on the other hand, we're starting to see a little bit of interest. Basis levels are picking up. I think part of that is just really due to the fact that there are such wide carries in the soybean market out to the July. So some of that basis improvement is trying to capture some of that carry. But corn is pretty well flat and has been and probably will be until we get some of this higher moisture, lower test weight, lower quality corn move through the system.
Yeah, so what kind of test weights are we talking about?
Well, just kind of average 55, 56, but it just hasn't been as good as what it's been the last several years when it's been 58, 59, and 60. So it's not terrible corn, but it's kind of corn that may not keep into the spring and the summer, I think, is what the fear is. And so we're not really seeing high damage corn of any you know shape or form, but I think the concern is there that this is just not a crop that can store very well into the summer in a lot of areas where they got planted in June. You know, now some of the corn that got planted in May, you know, that's probably going to be typical corn that'll keep all summer. But a lot of this corn, I just don't think, and farmers are a little concerned that it won't keep until the summer. So they're moving it now and getting rid of it.
What are your expectations for the rest of this week?
Depending on what we see with the report tomorrow and then obviously the Chinese coronavirus, that those two seem to be the big topics of discussion right now. I think farmers would sell on a rally, but at this point, they're content to wait it out and see if we can get back to the top end of the range again in the corn market. And soybeans have lost so much that, you know, I don't know what price farmers are waiting for, but, you know, probably at least a 25, 30 cent rally from the 70 cents that we lost here in the last month.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, helping us to wrap up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org, or look us up as a podcast in Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, the NPR One app on Apple Podcasts, and even in the Google Play Store. And while you're at the WILLAG.org website, by the way, don't forget to pick up your ticket for the All-Day Ag Outlook. That's the third day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. I'm Todd Gleason.